Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
What's up? What's up? We're back here for another week of the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. That is VC. We are putting it in. He has on his Bronco hat as usual. Each week, the last couple of weeks, the Broncos have been giving us the business. They've been giving us the gossip of what's going on throughout football. Should I start a guy? Should I stop playing a guy? Is it about money? Is it about playing time? Is it about production? We don't know, but listen, this thing is playing out in Denver. Denver is playing out just like a soap opera. It is playing out, and as I stated earlier, Russ is not his guy. Russ is not Sean's guy, and Sean had to take this marriage. It's almost like if you're in those foreign countries and you have to marry a certain person. That's what this
was. Hell on a bride.
That's what it was. It was a marriage that you had that you were forced to take. Stem back from, and it pot boiled over. You know, when you're boiling water, and you put it in one of those little nice, pretty kettles, and after so long, you know when the water's ready because it start making noise, it start whistling.
Don't overcook the grits.
What happened to Sean Payton and Russ? It finally came to a head on the sideline. Did I like the way it was done? No, but this is the day and age of college football, we must understand. It is a business. And right now, when you're looking at the dollars and the cents, just like any company, tell people like any company. When it comes to budget cuts, they look at high salary people and start working themselves down because they say if we cut at the top, we will be okay at the bottom because we've already set the bottom guys up. It's just when we start paying these big time guys, that's when this thing starts to boil over, and it has boiled over in Denver. You're talking about a guy like Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champion. Now, he is a Super Bowl champion. We're going to dive deep into this when we bring our main. Listen, I had to go deep for this one. And this is one of Vaughn's, you know, this is going to make Vaughn feel happy. It's going to make him feel good. I went and bought it and went in. I'm bringing on my show today. I'm bringing on, listen, all decade player.
That's it.
Super Bowl champion.
That's right.
All pro.
That's right.
When you talk about at the defensive back, but not only talk about the defensive back, you got to talk about how he went into the league. Chris Harris for the Denver Broncos, former player, is coming on the show tonight, and we're going to dive into some questions of where did he see the Broncos at now, and how do he see this whole thing with Russell Wilson and everything playing out? Is it in the best interest of the Denver Broncos? He is a Denver Bronco, so we'll ask him. As we get into around 7:20, Chris will join the show. We're going to bang it out. We're going to get deep into it. Listen, a lot of things are going on in sports. Tonight's game, in the NFL, is going to be interesting because we got Joe Flacco. I mean, he was just
big
off.
Time.
He's off the couch. How do you go off? You're coming off the couch. Literally coming off the couch. You were literally on a plane. Now, you can see the pictures that people put up. You was on a plane. And you were flying in. You flew in just like me and you travel when we go. It was no different for him. And then he looked like he was at the back of the plane because they was deboarding and someone took a picture of him and he had that look like, why are you taking a picture of me? But it was too late at that time when the picture came in. So listen, Joe Flacco, now what this, now do we run into this problem eventually in Cleveland that we're running into in Denver? Do we run into the same issue? At some point, do they try to figure out how they can dump Deshaun Watson? But you stuck with him.
Stuck with him. That contract is just a little too high. I mean, the Russell Wilson hit is going to be absorbent and brutal enough for the Denver Broncos. But for Cleveland to take a cap hit for Deshaun Watson, I don't even know how that would even work. I mean, you're going to probably have to stretch it out over 4 to 6 years. And we're talking, you know, $50 million per season, maybe. I mean, I don't even think it's doable. So as you mentioned, teams are going to have to be wary now signing these big contracts to these quarterbacks moving forward. I mean, right now, Brock Purdy is balling right now. Jalen Hurts is still on a rookie contract. So,
correct.
You know.
So, and now do we start looking at, do these guys start saying, okay, we got to reel this thing back in with the quarterbacks because they're, listen, they're being paid too much. And now we got to juggle and do what we did with Russ, which is a business decision for the Denver Broncos. Sean came out and said, he can't change the offensive line. He can't change the receivers. The only
thing. He tried to change the scheme. He tried to change scheme for him a little bit. This guy, he just. Look, man, when you work with Drew Brees, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback and a very cerebral type of quarterback, cerebral, you know. So him and Sean Payton had a beautiful relationship for 15 years. It was a cerebral relationship where they could get on the blackboard and Brees would be there early in the morning, 5 a.m., drawing up plays.
Yes.
And Sean would draw plays, and they would cohesively come up with a playbook. Right now, unfortunately, Russell Wilson does not have that makeup to be able to pass Sean Payton's test to be able to run his offense the way that it needs to be run.
And that's and he doesn't have it. And we'll get into it. I don't want to dab into it too much. We're going to wait till we have, you know, the Denver Bronco, Mr. Denver Bronco himself come on the show. But let's get into tonight's game.
Definitely.
At the Jets, and we're looking at Cleveland. If Flacco comes back out with another stellar performance against the Jets, which is not that hard, the Jets is only 6-9. And now he was sitting on Cleveland. That's 10-4. Not only that, it makes me wonder: do the Dallas Cowboys kick themselves in the foot? Do they smash their foot and say, "If we would have kept Amari Cooper, we probably would be in a better situation right now." When you got Amari Cooper and you would have CeeDee Lamb, now you got two number ones instead of having a number one and some 2As. We got 2As. We don't have, and I know everybody will say, well, not too many teams have two number ones, but we don't even have a 1A. We don't have a 1A. I know Cook is good, but he's just not going to give the Dallas Cowboys what the Dallas Cowboys need. And
he's a little long in the tooth, too.
And we've seen that happen against the Miami Dolphins. And it wasn't so much, I'm not going to blame Dak on that game. Dak did what he had to do. I think when you look at, and they did, not that they let him get wide open, but he was able to make certain plays.
Right.
The Cheetah was able to make, Sir Tyreek Hill was able to make the key plays that was able to keep the chains moving, especially on that last drive. If you got a chance to look at that last drive, they put him in motion just to see if the defense was in man coverage. If that guy followed him, it was in man coverage. Tyreek Hill came back out. They ran the play. Tyreek Hill was able to get up under. The lineman blocked, shedded it, and it got the first down. And it was that first down that really kind of sealed the deal for the Miami Dolphins. Now, it was a tough fight for both sides. It went back and forth. At one point, I think Dallas might have scored too early on that last scoring drive and left Miami with too much time on the clock to where Tyreek Hill and Tua then was able. Now, it's not like Tyreek Hill had a blowout game. So that means the corners did play pretty well. Al Harris had those corners playing pretty stout.
He always does.
But it's just it.
Like you said, Tone, you just got one wide receiver right now, and CeeDee Lamb, in order to go to the Super Bowl and get over the top, you're either going to need an impact tight end that's going to be able to affect the game on a consistent basis, or you're going to need a good second or third wide receiver to be able to complement CeeDee Lamb. And right now, week after week, we see CeeDee Lamb is worth the money. Wait and go. Yeah. He wears the 88 for a reason, right?
And he's part of that 88 club.
He's earned it, though. He's earned it, right? So, yes. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, unfortunately, you miss Amari Cooper. You know, right now, you would kindly trade Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Cooks, and maybe one other guy for Amari Cooper right now to have Amari on the opposite side of CeeDee Lamb right now.
Correct. And see, now, to have and I thought about that right after that game was over, but then I wind up looking at what Cleveland did and how he set a record, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, dude. If we had Amari Cooper, and I'm looking at, because when we look at, everybody thought that Jalen, and I told people, Jalen Ramsey is not, at this stage of the game, is not a traveling corner.
True.
He's going to play one side of the field. Okay, now you put CeeDee, and I told guys, I said, once you put CeeDee, you can put CeeDee Lamb in the slot, because he can play inside and outside. Jalen is not, at this stage of the game, is not going to go inside, and he's not going to come to your right side. So you can, now you can play games with the Miami Dolphins secondary. And I think that's what's going to help them when we come back again and they have to face a team like Baltimore, who's playing lights out. And when we say playing lights out, now we look at, and that's going to be a game. But let's look at that game with Baltimore. Let's break that down a little bit with Baltimore and the Miami Dolphins. When we look at that and we let it play itself out,
right,
Baltimore says to themselves, if we've clinched and we got home field advantage, everything that we need, do we play that hard? Do we risk it?
They going all out. John Harbaugh's team and the Blackbirds are the Dirty Ravens, man. This is a tough crew. This is a tough crew.
Right.
And what's interesting about it is that mystique of John Harbaugh is come again. Now, we just now mentioned Joe Flacco and that team that Joe Flacco went to the Super Bowl with and won a Super Bowl with Ray Lewis and the guys like that. I mean, that defense and that team had a mystique.
Correct.
And an image about them, right? So if you look at this team right now, Roquan, Hamilton, Kyle Hamilton as a safety and everything, they got a mean mystique about them right now. It's sort of like, you know, they're not having it right now, Tone. They're not having it on either side of the ball. You give it to Gus Bus, he's looking to run somebody over with the ball. You know what I'm saying? In the run game. You know, Lamar's playing lights out. You got Zay Flowers, the outstanding draft pick that they got from Boston College. You see the routes the young man is running, right?
He's a South Florida product. He's a South Florida product.
Kid is beautiful route running and precision, right? So they got everything clicking right now. Now, I think that they want to win these games. Look, in order to get to the Super Bowl, you can't, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts.
Exactly.
There's no shortcuts, all right?
When we're talking about the Super Bowl, we see Brock Purdy, who was at one point the MVP of the league. Everybody was saying, okay, he's the MVP. He can do this. You have one game.
Right.
In the later part of the season. You have one game that's bad. And look at what happens. Now your name has fallen so far from grace that people were saying, is Brock Purdy is not looking Purdy. He's looking, when you throw that many interceptions, and did his performance hurt himself even having a late run if he does make it to the Super Bowl or if he does do well in these next couple of games? Has he distanced himself from Lamar Jackson? I see Lamar Jackson as being the MVP of the league. I know a lot of people saying, wait a minute, we got Tyreek Hill, but the MVP of the league goes to the quarterbacks.
Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the year this year. I agree with that 100%. Here's the thing about Brock Purdy. I think a lot of people got to realize Brock Purdy is a very talented guy. But the offensive scheme that Kyle Shanahan is running is really what's helping him way more and carrying him way more than his talent, physical attribute, right?
Yes.
So the kid just doesn't have a Justin Herbert arm. He doesn't throw the ball like Joe Burrow. He doesn't throw the ball like Matthew Stafford and these guys with the laser.
Correct.
So he can't throw people open, Tone. So he has to throw to a spot. And if that spot gets muddy or if they block his vision with the hands up, or anything like that. His whole thing is thrown off. So I think what's happening is that San Francisco's got to win the Super Bowl this year with Brock Purdy, or they're going to have to realize that they're going to have to upgrade big time with the quarterback position, with a quarterback that has a much stronger arm that can do more with the football when it's in his hands. He's good. He's talented. He can do so many talented things. He can break a defense down. He can read. He can do all the things that a lot of good young quarterbacks can't do. But he doesn't have the arm strength to get them in tight windows and throw guys open consistently.
And so, and that's why when I looked at last week's game with Miami, and hard as that was for me, the hardest it is for me to say, it's going to be hard for the Dallas Cowboys in this run, because Dallas is going to have to go on the road. And Dallas is my team. They're going to have to go on the road.
Right.
If Dallas does not play well on the road, they're not going to get, it's going to be tough on to get a home game. And that's going to be the one question. Can they win on the road? And I don't think, from the way the season's going, that, now, if you had to go to Dallas, that's a different question. But if you got to go on the road as the Cowboys, they do not perform well. But, hey, listen, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And coming back on the other side of this thing, when it comes to cornerbacks and it comes to elevating your game, it ain't where you start, it's how you finish. The young man that's coming on the Tony Sands Show, when I say, listen, he's that dude. He is that guy. He is that Denver Bronco. Woo. Listen, he is that guy. We're going to play two commercials, and then we're coming back on the other side of this with my main man, Chris Harris.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got.
How you
like a beast. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
Listen, man. We back here on the Tony Sands Show. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show. Listen. Thomas, if you can't play this, Thomas, play that sound bite, the highlight, Chris Harris highlight sound bite that we had sent over to you. Play that sound bite, and then we're going to bring him on, because it's only due that you bring on a guy of his talent, like the right wing. Play that sound bite, please.
Chris Harris Jr. and the Broncos agreeing to a brand new one-year deal that had the four-time Pro Bowler back out on the field on Wednesday.
We gotta change the game, man. Everybody touch the rock today, man. Let's come out this for four picks, man.
DB!
Amen!
I was so hard-headed at first. My grandma didn't even believe in me. I kept going, though.
Shot in the best corner in the league every day.
All I can say is I told you.
Flacco. Throwing. Intercepted on the far side of the field. Chris Harris down the sideline. Flacco trying to catch him, and he won't get there.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have never doubted me. The pain and the struggle followed me. My daddy never been that bothered me. And these cold streets made a man of me. Knew a time it'll come, they doubt me. Had to keep them OGs around me. Keep a young, young homie grounded. You never know where your motivation to come from. We do the most with these bras and pop shotgun. They try to push you aside, you gotta fight some. I had a line on the thigh, and now we buy guns. I want that number one spot, I'm like Icon. I got that beast in my eyes, I'm like Tyson. With my heart and my drive, I know I'm righteous. Keep some ice in me, rocky like bad boy. Once you win, you gon' want more. Set a tree and need an encore. I was down on my last when I found myself. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah.
Good way, and it's intercepted by Harris, who breaks the tackle, and another one.
listen, Chris Harris, what's up, my brother?
What's up, Tony, man? How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Man, thank you for taking time out your busy schedule. I know the girls got you busy. Man, listen, First of all, we'll talk about the game, the Kansas game. But co-host is a huge Denver Bronco fan, man. He loved that they Von Carter. He is Bronco through and through. And when I talk about the Broncos, if I say anything bad about the Broncos, he get in the feelings. So I have to, I have to be careful when I'm on the show with him, because he get in his feelings a little bit. But let's talk about the game, man. Let's talk about the Kansas, the Guarantee Bowl. We're gonna get into guys. Chris Harris, an alumni of Kansas. He is my Wall of Fame brother from another mother. We are those dudes. Listen, Chris played with my son Deshaun, but we are Hall of Fame brothers together. Chris, man, listen. When you sitting in that stadium at Kansas, and you saw Kansas at a different era than what I saw it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You guys were able to reach that pinnacle. You know, I came in when we were bad. When you look in that stadium, and I'm looking out of your eyes, what do you see? Do you see progression in what was into what is now? Or how do you view it out of your eyes when you were watching the game the other night?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You can see the I think Kansas, I think we always had talent, but we just couldn't all put it together. Right. And we had, from when I came in, man, it was a gang of talent, man. We had a lot of playmakers, and I was just able to come in, me and Briscoe come in as true freshmen and just be able to be that last little piece, to those good teams that we had. And now I see the great progression, man. We finally got a stable coach. Coach Leipold is doing has a great vision for the program. His family's involved in the program.
Yes.
You know, they're there. So I love the way that they're Travis Goff, we probably can't even say enough good things about him as an athletic
director. I'm telling you.
As a direction that he's going, that he has the program going. I mean, it's just, it's just a great feeling, man, to finally see it going in that right way, man. And I'm proud of those young boys and what they did out there and went out there and handled business. I felt like the rest, man, the guaranteed flag ball, man, the rest, they wouldn't stop throwing the flag, but it was still fun, man.
Yes, and it was, like I said, and Chris, because that was my first bowl game ever being a part of anything, being associated with the University of Kansas. That was my first ever bowl game. Even when you guys came, when they came to the Orange Bowl, and I'm here in Broward County, I still didn't go down to the game because of some things with past administration, how, things play out. But you guys took this thing, and when y'all played in Kansas City. I think y'all was playing Missouri. Y'all was either 1-2 at the time, and you guys played that game in Missouri because me and Deshaun was up. I was up. Deshaun was a red shirt freshman, I think, and I came up with him, and we went to Kansas City to watch the game. Chris, you have a breakout. You have a great college career. I want to take people through, for those that are listening, reason why I want to go this way, because I want to let people know what goes into a guy like yourself. You had a great college career for yourself. You played ball. You did everything you did at University of Kansas. And then come draft day. Chris, walk us through you going up to draft day and how it played out for you and what was going through your mind.
Man, my senior year, we had we were going through a rough stretch, first year return to Gil. It's very hard when you lose the coach that recruits you.
Yes.
Right? Because now the program, and I'm a senior, the program's kind of, we're looking to get the guys for the future. You're not our guys. We didn't recruit you. It wasn't no transfer portal where I could just leave, like how it is now,
Yes.
I had to kind of stick with it. But midway through my senior season, they weren't doing analytics and things like they do now to where they can you can really test. But I really wasn't getting any action at all. And we went to probably like the sixth game, and Coach Gill was like, you need to play safety. Or we might need you to play safety so you can get in the game, get some action, And from there, man, I think I averaged like probably almost like 10 to 12 tackles a game, PBUs, you know, start really making plays. And but one thing it did was it hurt me in my draft because I was ranked high in the, like, the top 10 at corner. But when I switched to safety, they thought it was it because he's slow or he can't run with these guys, you know? So it kind of, it lost me in the shuffle, right? So I go from being a top 10 corner to being top 25 at safety. You know what I mean? And once I got to the draft, I would end up going undrafted. And that really was confusing at that time because I seen a lot of guys get drafted ahead of me that didn't have 45 starts in the Big 12. Right. You know, face Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson, all these guys that I see in the NFL, I faced them in college. You know, right. I mean, Macklin, all those guys, you know. Mm. So it was just very confusing at that time. And it was a lockout,
yes.
Right? So it was zero communication with the NFL, with the agents and the scouts. Nobody knew what was going to happen after the draft. Usually after the draft, they have undrafted where they get picked up immediately after the draft.
Correct. Right.
The lockout year wasn't like that. So we had to wait until July, to the end of July. And I had three teams. I had the Dolphins, I had the Cowboys, and the Broncos. And the reason why we went with the Broncos, even though it was the lowest salary, I had the lowest signing bonus. My signing bonus was $2,000.
Wow. Right?
So I had enough just to get a little, you know what I mean? I think I bought like a little clothes to have me down, a little suit, you know, to wear on the preseason. You know,
right.
When you travel, you got to wear a suit, you know? So
yes.
I had $2,000. Yes. Man, wow. I just went in and just, you know, I knew with John Elway that he was starting over, and he was starting a new regime. We had some veteran guys. I was blessed to come in with Brian Dawkins and Champ Bailey, and then I had another corner named Andre Goodman. He played 10 years, you know, 10-plus years, corner out of South Carolina. So I had, I had great vets, man, and they always this is why I say that really – I didn't come in the league. You know how some rookies come in the league, they kind of got to get used to the NFL?
Yes, yes.
Right?
Right.
I came in high already, you know.
Okay.
I was all rookie team my first year. But the reason why I think I had that confidence is because I had those older guys. I had Champ, B-Doc. Those are Hall of Famers, you know, telling the coaches, throw them in, put us in with them. Put them out there with us, you know. We want to play with them. And that right there just boosted me up, man. So that's just a little short little story, man, how I even got started, man.
And listen, man, and when you talk, when we think about it, we look at it. When we look at your career, when you can say, when people hear where you came from and to know how you finished your career, Super Bowl champion, first team All-Pro in 2016, two-time second team All-Pro 2014, 2015, four-time Pro Bowler, all-decade team. When you talk about NFL and to be part of the all-decade team, that speaks volumes for your play. And that's where you let kids know it's not where you start this thing. It's how you finish it, the energy that you put into it to be the best. And, man, you did do that. You were a Denver Bronco, and, you know, you wore it well. I was playing your highlight tape earlier, and you can see – just the excitement in you, and to know where you came from is explosive. Let's get into some of the NFL. And as we talk about the NFL a little bit, we talk about the Denver Broncos. How do you see it is your Broncos? How do you see your Broncos finishing up these last two games, and how do you see them next year?
Yeah. Oh, man, it's definitely, you know, they need a spark. You know, offensively, they've pretty much been – non-existent the last couple games. And I think the tide of the turn for really Russell Wilson's future was the Houston Texans game, right? Yeah. That was big, major playoff implications. If they would have won that game, they would have had like 85% chance of making the playoffs.
Correct.
Right? And they just they went down there and got upset by CJ, but Russell threw, I think, two interceptions you know, and it was a lot of open plays out there. We should have won that game. And I think after that, I think Sean Payton just kind of, he was like, no, we can't win with this guy. I think it's time for us to go in a different direction. And he's not worth paying him, you know, the $80 million that they have to pay him. So so I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to go with that direction, move on from Russ. My prediction is for them to go after Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
They don't have the draft capital to be able to go get a Justin Fields or any other like young quarterback that's upcoming. But I think they go get a bridge quarterback this year, a Kirk Cousins, a Jacoby Brissett. Might even try out Jameis Winston, you know, and see who can come out and have a good competition there. And I think they can get the same type of production with those guys that they're getting from Russ, because Russ, it's not he's played great in the red zone, and but he hasn't been really lighting up the you know, the stat sheet. So I think that'll probably be the game plan on which they go.
Go ahead, BC. You got some questions, Chris?
Chris, I just wanted to thank you, my brother. This is Vaughn Carter. I'm Tony Sands, co-host. Man, I wanted to thank you as a diehard Bronco fan for so much joy you brought to me, brother. As a Broncos fan, you did your thing, my brother. I used to travel from Brooklyn, New York to Denver, Colorado just to see you guys play. Okay, so.
Oh, man, yeah. You faced. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And get on the 12 o'clock flight back to New York so I can be to work the next day, man. But I wanted to talk to you in particular about the no-fly zone in particular, my brother. I mean, this is one of the greatest – you guys are one of the greatest secondaries in the history of the National Football League. Can you please tell me, myself and the listeners and Tony, what was it like in the to have cohesion amongst the four guys, and what was it like to be able to accomplish what you guys accomplished together as a unit?
Yeah. Man, we just, you know, Elway did a great job of being able to get guys that all fit, you know, all we all play kind of different, gel together, right? Getting us a lead that is a playmaker, ball hawk, right? Gambler, you know, lead takes a lot more chances. And then you got me that's going to play everywhere, be versatile, and be kind of like a quarterback back there. And then Roby, you know, had all the talent in the world. Roby's just a freak athlete, right?
Yes.
And he was a playmaker. And then you had TJ Ward that's going to come smack you, and he played in the box with me a lot of the time. So, and then Dan Stewart, you know, people forget about D. Stu. D. Stu was, you know, he wouldn't be able to play in this league today, right? They'd be kicking Stu out because he was one of those heavy hitters like Doc, like Atwater, you know, them killers, you know, K. Jack, Kareem Jackson. So he wouldn't be able to play in this league today, you know. But we had it all, man, from when you think of schematically, being able to play zone, play man. We play majority man, right? That's why I put us over a lot of secondaries, because we come out and play, hey, we're going to send four or five, and we're going to play man, right?
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And in an era in which we had to play against a tiny, prime Brady, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's
prime
right.
Big Ben. Philip Rivers, you know, these are Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Fire, you know what I mean? With Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith. You know, they had weapons, you know. So it was, you look at the Steelers receivers. I remember one year we played them, they had A.B., Mike Wallace, Jacaro Cotchery, Emmanuel Sanders. You know, everybody was loaded, man, back then, you know.
Yes.
So I just think it was a little bit more talent, you know, more spread at that time as it is compared to what it is now. And with the quarterbacks, it was on a whole nother level with those quarterbacks. Right. These quarterbacks are doing solid, but these guys are different. So that's why I put the no fly zone up there, because we had to beat Big Ben, Tom Brady. Cam Newton to win a Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's right. Ben Roethlisberger too, my brother. Ben Roethlisberger on his way to the Super Bowl. You guys knocked him out in the Tebow game with Demaryius Thomas with the touchdown pass. I was in the stadium that day, my brother.
And
you talked about playing in this game, in this day and era, with the way the rules are set up now, where you got to be careful of your level of play, especially as a defender. And now they are going possibly going to outlaw another type of tackle, the drop tackle. How hard would it be to play in this day and age for a guy like yourself that was used to just, hey, listen, I'm putting everything out. How hard would it be to play in this day and age?
Oh, for me, man, the way I tackle, man, the way I tackle is probably the standard of how they want you to tackle. Now, if you go back and look at my tackling stats, I led the league in tackle missed tackle ratio for about 6 years straight. You know, that's like hidden stats that people don't really know. So I would say I would fit perfect in it. Just my tackling probably be the standard, but it would definitely be very hard for. You know, a lot of these, especially the old DBs, you know, old heavy hitters, you know, it'd definitely be hard for those guys. But the drop tackle is, that's a huge issue right there, like you're saying. Yes. It's damn near impossible to get these guys now. You know, these are freak athletes, you know, and great agility, stop and start, you know, quick twitch, amazing. You know, you train a lot of these guys, so you know. But it's getting a guy down to drop tackle, even though it is causing some injuries for a DB, that's hard to eliminate that. And then these helmet to helmet or these roughing the passers are just, you know, is just ridiculous. These quarterbacks barely get touched and they call a flag now, or they're looking for a flag. So I don't like that at all. That takes away the because we used to go on games is we got to beat this quarterback up. That used to be like the game plan, right?
Yes, right.
You know, if we cut off the head of the snake, we can win. But now that's not even part of the game plan because you can't even hit the quarterback. So,
correct.
You know, it's just a totally different game.
That's Listen, real. Chris, man, I don't want to take too much of your time, man. Thank you for joining the show. I know you got to go and tend to the girls, those beautiful girls that you have, man. Thank you for taking your time out, my brother. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. Anytime y'all want me on, man, come down here to guest, man. Holler at me, man. I'm welcome.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Salute, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
No problem.
All right. You guys, listen, I don't think you guys understand. As a matter of fact, Thomas, I'm going to let you guys see some of these plays.
Future Hall of Famer, Tony. Future Hall of
Famer. Future Hall of Famer. Yeah, when you talk about all decade, it's not too many guys that stay all decade.
We're talking four-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro. This man showed up, and he mentioned Phillip Rivers, Joe Flacco in his prime, Ben Roethlisberger on his way to trying to get a second Super Bowl in a back-to-back.
Correct.
Tom Brady. I mean, Chris Harris went against anybody and everybody. And then we talk about the wide receivers, right? He named them Mike Wallace, A.B., Jordy Nelson, anybody and everybody. Strap Harris went mano-a-mano, man-to-man, no help over the top. He didn't need it, right?
Because
we put Boss Ward in the box.
Yes, yes,
put Boss Ward in the box, right?
Yes.
Like he said. So at the end of the day, I mean, people, I have to realize this guy, Chris Harris, was he's really an anomaly.
Yes.
The guy is undrafted.
Undrafted.
He's not the biggest corner, like a big Sherman guy, and everything, right? But the toughness, and one other thing that he mentioned to you that I think is really important for the young listeners out there to really pay attention to, is that if you go back and look at his tackles, he was really a textbook tackler.
And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at that.
Fundamental expert right there.
Thomas, do me a favor. Play that Chris Harris highlight soundbite back, and we're going to let people see just how Chris had, for those that are just joining the show, just how Chris Harris, we had Chris Harris on, former Denver Bronco, all-decade Super Bowl champion, all-pro, four-time Super Pro Bowler on the show talking. He gave you his experience from college all the way to the pros and how he would adjust in today's game. Would it, some guys say they couldn't. He is there. Yeah, let's play that. Play that and start that sound like Thomas at eight seconds. Play it.
Because he's a fundamental – He's a fundamental tackler. And next time when we get him on, Tone, I'm going to ask him, when they put him at safety, I wonder if it caused him to even become even a better tackler.
Yes.
Right?
Because you got to come down safety,
you got to put impact. You got to tackle guys and they're running backs that are bigger than you, and he's already not the biggest guy. So next time we have him on, I would love to really know maybe that moment at safety, even though it messed him up for the draft, it later prepared him with the physical toughness of the actual week-to-week physical toughness that he went through as a cornerback. Because this man didn't run away from contact, ladies and gentlemen.
Not what
finished it, but he was a fundamental wrap-up tackle, and he never got hurt tackling somebody.
Play that sound bite again.
Flacco. Throwing. Intercepted on the far side of the field. Chris Harris down the sideline. Flacco trying to catch him, and he won't get there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you should have never doubted me. The pain and the struggle followed me. My daddy never and that bothered me. And these cold streets made a man of me. Knew a time it'll come, they doubt me. Had to keep them OGs around me. Keep a young, young homie grounded. You never know where your motivation to come from. We do the most with these bras and pops undone. They try to push you aside, you gotta fight some. I had a line on the thigh, and now we buy guns. I want that number one spot, I'm like Icon. I got that beast in my eyes, I'm like Tyson. With my heart and my drive, I know I'm righteous. Keep some ice on me, rocky, rocky like bad boy. Once you win, 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 you gon' want more. Set a tree and tree and tree and need an encore. I was down on my last when I found myself. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah, yeah. I be a fighter to the end, to my last breath. I'ma hustle to my last breath. I got angels all around me, yeah, yeah. I got love all around me, yeah,
yeah. Good way, and it's intercepted by Harris, who breaks the tackle, and another one.
Came from the water, Waterford. Every nigga in my gang
over
got
the middle. Intercepted
around your must on a gang war.
Harris Jr. And
I got a girl in the transport. Stepping is a habit, I got Zans on me. I'm out of the flank, the fan on me.
We're back here. Listen. I had to play that because I wanted people to see who Chris Harris was. People know him. They heard about the No Fly Zone, especially these younger kids. But to see that when you're out there on the field, it is unbelievable. And I was with him. I was with him at the Guarantee Bowl. Me and him was together and we was talking, you know, because he called me OG. You know, he said, I'm the, you know that's right, OG, right. when you And it's, when you say OG, that's a sign of respect, you know, when we're together. But it's exciting because I look at him, and when you look at him, if he's just walking through the arena or walking, you would never think that this guy was able to be a part of an all-decade team throughout the NFL. When I say he played lights out, he's always business. All business when you talk about playing the game. And you look at it, and now, and he also talked about the state that the Denver Broncos, and he said it himself, that Russell Wilson is just not getting the job done. He's not getting it done.
That's it. And you know, that's the thing, Tone. You know, a lot of people wanted to look at Russell Wilson's stats and be admired by the stats because he's in the top 10 of certain stats. But if you take away the 50-50 balls that Cortland Sutton helped him out with this year and the other passes that were touchdowns that they helped him out with, his statistics weren't that great. And when you go back and you look at the film and the tape, we're realizing that there's too many guys open. He's breaking down protection when it doesn't need to be broken down. And as Chris mentioned, Sean Payton doesn't have the patience. And we talked about it right here on the show. He does not have the patience. He tried. His job was to try to make it work. And he realizes he can't go another 18 weeks with Russell Wilson as his quarterback.
And especially when you're saying, okay, I don't want to go. I can't go in because Russ can't get for it to get hit hurt. Because right. If Russ get hurt,
it's guaranteed for 2025.
You got another guarantee on that backside. So they're saying, I'm quite sure Sean went to Mr. Walmart and told him to the ownership, hey, listen, we got to do a business decision here. This is business. You know, I know you own stores all, but this is the NFL. Let's go ahead right now. Go with Stidham.
Right.
Move this thing in the right direction because I got to see what I got because I got, and you heard some of the names that he went in, and Kirk Cousins was one of the names. And you looked like he was kind of surprised, B, when he said Kirk Cousins.
Very surprised. Now, schematically, Kirk Cousins fits perfect. He's a perfect fit. He can run Sean Payton's offense exactly how Drew Brees, and that's the same conceptually. It's a perfect fit. Chris Harris is 1,000% correct. The only thing is that Kirk Cousins has admitted that he really loves Minnesota. Him and his wife, they loved it. He bought a house there. He's going to baseball games at the Minnesota Twin games. He seems like he didn't want to get traded. Remember now, Kirk Cousins was on the trading block, right?
Yes.
So we got to wait and see about that. That is an option, though. I'm going to defer and fall back and say Michael Penix is the goal for the Denver Broncos to start week one.
Start week one? Wow.
Yes, week one, we're going to go. I think Michael Penix will be outside of the top 10 due to the two ACL injuries. And I think Sean Payton has already done an evaluation on Penix because he's thrown for over 4,000 yards back-to-back seasons. And I think he realizes that that guy schematically can run it exactly how he needs to and not being running. He's not a running around quarterback and he doesn't break down the pocket. So I think that the Broncos got to think long-term like that because we won't have the cash capital to be able to go out and go get many people.
And that's the question. Now, Thomas, if you can, start this next soundbite, the Undisputed. Could you start that at 4:12? Get that soundbite ready to go and start it only at 4:12. And it talks about, Vaughn, just what you were saying, is that the type of guy that Sean Payton was used to and Drew Brees. And you got to understand, when Sean got Drew Brees was, he could say he molded Drew Brees into the quarterback that he wanted him to be versus you getting a quarterback that is already set in their his ways and he can't do what you're asking. If we can play, start that sound bite at 4:12 for
mm-hmm.
benched.
Right. And yelled at like that on the
yell side. That.
Yeah, it's
that,
hard.
Thank you.
That kind of engagement and encounter between head coach and quarterback. What we talked about this. It's just that's I told you then. That's it's hard for those guys mm-hmm. to work together, and I knew it then. But now, let me defend Sean in this sense because I understand when I look at it, and I've looked at how he's always been, how he's won games in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Russ doesn't fit the mold of his quarterback. His quarterbacks have won games with receivers running right over the middle of the field and him getting that ball out. The Coastons have the most reception. Marcus Coaster has the most reception, most receiving yards, 9,000 yards, 9,759 yards. Mm. That's over the middle of the field. Mm. Then Michael Thomas.
I'd say. Yeah.
That's over the middle of the field. Then Jimmy Graham. That's over the middle of the field. And Russ is not that. We were talking about this the other day. Russ is not that pre-snap, Drew Brees, pre-snap. I got as quick hit. Let's take that. Let's march down the field, taking all of those quick hits and quick slants and quick hitches. Russ can't do that. You know, I don't know. You can't see. He can't do it. And when it's there, he doesn't hit it. Now he starts turning around and whirling around, making plays. I would imagine that's what was going on that sideline. That's there.
Crazy.
It's there. It's right
crazy.
There. Exactly. Take the play. Just throw the ball. Throw the ball. You've heard quarterback say it. So I understand it's not his quarterback. Yeah, you know, and you got to move on.
Now, you see their tone. These guys are saying exactly what I was actually alluding to and saying this whole time, man. When he comes to the line of scrimmage and we look at this stuff, man, he has to make the checks at the line of scrimmage as a Super Bowl winning quarterback who has experience, bro. It's just, these are just elementary things that you got to do. And if you can't do it, you got to go, man.
It's tough. It's tough to do it in Sean Payton's offense. It's going to be tough. Let's move on. Let's get into tonight's game. Let's jump into the Jets and Cleveland.
Joe Flacco.
You were 2 points off the prediction of that. You were 2 points away from getting a perfect prediction. When I look at this game, and all the thing I'm saying about, as you look at these Thursday night games,
right?
They just haven't had that.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
they're not games that keep you up.
Absolutely,
if you don't watch out, you'll fall asleep watching this game. But let's break it down. Give me your take on this game. Give me who you think going to win this game.
Well, Joe Flacco is not a redemption type of a guy. So even though he played a little moment for the Jets, I don't think he's looking like he wants to get back at the Jets. However, Mr. Elijah Moore, ladies and gentlemen, Elijah Moore had big problems with the Jets and did not want to tolerate the madness of Zach Wilson. They sent him away to Cleveland. People have forgotten about Elijah Moore. So while we're going to be looking at Amari Cooper and Sauce Gardner carrying him, we're going to have to pay attention. Elijah Moore has some respect he wants to get back tonight. And Njuku is emerging as one of the best tight ends in the league right now, David Njuku. So this offensive line, you got two complimentary running backs in Hunt and Ford. I think that they're going to dominate. And listen, Cleveland's got possibly the best defense in the National Football League, right? Jim Schwartz has come back into the league. He's done a great job as defensive coordinator. He's not a head coach, but he is a great defensive coordinator. So I'm going to go tonight 24-9.
Oh, wow. I'll go 21. I'm going to go 21-7. I'm going to go 21. Okay. I'll go 21-7.
Okay. Okay. Jets going to struggle, man. The Jets going to have big problems. Trevor Siemian is the quarterback and everything, so they're going to have big problems, you know. But, hey, listen, let's get back on the Cowboys for a second because before we leave here, let's get on the Cowboys.
Yes.
To move forward, someone's got to find – you guys, you, Mike, and everybody's got to figure – somebody's got to find out, where's Jalen Tolbert? I mean, this kid was drafted 2 seasons ago. Now, I know he came out of South Alabama. He doesn't come off a conventional route tree, ladies and gentlemen. So it took him time to develop. He needed extra time in camp. He needed extra time to run these routes and learn these routes. He should be ready to rock right now, Tony. It's December.
But and it goes back to, not only are we talking about him.
Yes.
Do we see a coaching change if the Dallas Cowboys doesn't get further in the playoffs?
No, you got to stick with McCarthy. I think he's done a good job, bro. He's done a good job. You got the defensive coordinator. Listen, next year you're going to have to get another wide receiver. And also, too, you're missing the explosive tight end right now. The Dallas Cowboys had a tight end. Dak Prescott loves his tight ends, bro. The check down with him, Dak kills you with the tight end. So if you can get to a complimentary tight end, because you're missing your boy that went to Houston. What's my man's name that went to Houston? Tight end for Dallas last year. Ah, man, slipped my tongue, but you know what I'm talking about. The Cowboys tight end, you go to Houston, Texas as a free agent. So, you know, definitely get a tight end, brother. Definitely. And the run game, you know, Dallas Cowboys run game, how effective will it be moving forward? If you want to win these big games and go on the road, you're going to have to effectively run the football, you know. So it's still in front of you. Cowboys against the Lions this weekend. Give me a prediction.
I'm going Cowboys.
What's the score?
24-10.
I'm going to go Heartbreak City, 24-23 on a last-second field goal, Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs, big game. Jahmyr Gibbs.
I'm going Cowboys. I'm still going Cowboys. I got to go with my Cowboys. I got to keep the faith.
Hey, listen, you still got time. I mean, even if you lose the game, you're still in the playoffs. You already locked up a spot and everything. The question, I think, is can the Cowboys continue to build? I mean, Dak has shown up, right? He just needs some help, you know, in the pass game and the run game to be able to complement you guys. Everything is still in front of the Cowboys, though. It's still wide open for everybody.
Correct.
Still wide open for everybody, man.
Hey, listen, let's close the show out. Thomas telling you it's time to go. If you know, let's go. Cowboys, I got to go with my Cowboys. I'm going Cleveland tonight. He's going Cleveland tonight. There's no long whooping tonight.
Right.
Let's get it on. See you next week as I bring on some smooth guests next week. Trying to get Tlaib coming on the show.
Oh, man. You can't go wrong, brother. And eventually we'll have the whole secondary on here. We'll make it a Kansas no-fly zone edition, brother. You can't go wrong. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to get both of them on at the same time.
Yes, sir. At the same time, so we can hear the stories from these guys. You know what I'm saying? Because I know they got stories. I want to know what's going on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to know what's going on the plane. Who's the joke?
They got some deep stories.
They got some stories. You know what I mean? And also, too, man, I was at a game. I want to ask Chris next time. I was at a game 2015. I want to take him back. 2015, Soldiers Field, Denver Broncos against the Chicago Bears. I flew to Chicago to see the game. My family is in Chicago. They didn't want to go to the game. It was so cold. Right. It was -15. It was Brock Osweiler's birthday, starting quarterback for Peyton Manning. He was hurt.
Right.
Chris Harris played in that game. It was 17-16. Broncos won the game. I want to know, was that the coldest game he ever played in? Because it was -15 was the weather, but the wind chill was -30.
Oh, wow. Wow. We'll ask him all that next time.
Absolutely.
We'll find it out.
Next week, brothers. Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Let's go.